Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Charmed me most, that you loved me still the same, that you loved me still the same, that you loved me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's a gas. Maybe you've noticed prices at the pump coming down.
This may not be enough to make you rush out and buy a big new SUV, but the latest numbers suggest a gallon of gas could average under $4 within a couple of days. That's in part because demand is down. Jeff Sundstrom's a fuel price analyst with AAA.
Now that the oil prices come down, your local retailer is trying to stimulate traffic back into their convenience store, and they are dropping prices just as quickly as they can.
He predicts a gallon could drop another 25 cents by Labor Day, but AAA also says many of us won't return to our old driving habits unless gas drops closer to $3 a gallon, and those days may be gone. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Oil retreating today, price of a barrel of crude dropping more than $2. Put down that jalapeno pepper if it's from south of the border.
The FDA's advice to avoid raw jalapeno peppers and foods that contain them now applies only to jalapeno peppers grown, harvested, or packed in Mexico.
David Acheson, FDA Food Safety Chief. Food and Drug Today successfully pinpointing the nation's salmonella outbreak to farms in Mexico. Successful lobbying by the food industry against government paperwork requirements may well have hampered investigators in their search. An investigation by the Associated Press shows the Bush administration loosened rules on paperwork that could have helped trace the tainted produce. On Capitol Hill today, bankers and lenders grilled by Congress.
None of us wants a family to lose its home. And NBA members are devoting significant time and resources to finding ways to help borrowers keep their homes.
David Kittle, Mortgage Brokers Association. The Senate today clearing the last hurdle to passing housing rescue legislation aimed at sparing hundreds of thousands of homeowners from foreclosure. On the subject of new home sales, Bernie Markstein, a senior economist at the National Association of Home Builders.
The Northeast over the last few months has shown some improvement. It looks like it's stabilized and maybe even improving. The Midwest also has shown some signs of improving, or at least of stabilization.
New single-family home sales dropping by 0.6%. That's less than half the decline that many had expected. Why Chrysler is suspending its leasing programs.
The big problem is that vehicles, particularly trucks, coming back from leases are worth a lot less than they were expected to be worth. Jim Hall, who's an analyst with 2953 Analytics, says that's costing the entire industry billions.
The values that have been established by companies that were pretty good at predicting these things are now way off because of the impact of $4 a gallon gasoline.
Chrysler says instead of leasing, it will offer other incentives like no-interest loans. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Kidnapped by rebels 9 months ago in Chad, American missionary Steve Godbold is free today. Mark Corcoran, Evangelical Alliance Mission.
We have had contact on and off with Steve. And that he has reported each time that his health has been good.
The Dow hangs on to post a gain of 21 points today. This is CBS News.
It's time to get more for less. Because right now at the Home Depot end of season clearance event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store. Everything from cordless power tools, hand tools, wet dry vacs, and more. All from your favorite brands like Ridgid, Ryobi, and DeWalt. Just look for the yellow tags and save. At the Home Depot end-of-season clearance event, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercraft or sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8-2108, subject to credit approval restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit seadoo.com.
cleaning up a 400,000-gallon oil spill and clearing the way for river traffic.
The Coast Guard says the cleanup has progressed to a point where they can move high-priority ships through the oily waters of the Mississippi River.
The controlled movement is, in essence, a limited opening of the river, and that's the good news there.
Captain Lincoln Stroh says he's been particularly concerned about 8 refineries who have to turn oil into gas.
This is a major artery for the whole United States on goods and commodities. We have 8 refineries affected by this.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
South Texans, eager to salvage what they can from waterlogged homes struck by Hurricane Dolly, have another problem now. The floodwaters they're slogging through are laced with stinging fire ants, snakes, and tarantulas the size of a dinner plate. State Health Services Commissioner David Lakey says you don't want to wade in this water, you don't want to play in this water, you want to stay out of this water. It's timely advice, but a lot of residents in many neighborhoods with waist-deep water have little choice. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
It's time to get more for less. Because right now at the Home Depot end-of-season clearance event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store. Everything from cordless power tools, hand tools, wet-dry vacs, and more. All from your favorite brands, like Ridgid, Ryobi, and DeWalt. Just look for the yellow tags and save. At the Home Depot end-of-season clearance event, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W!
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W! Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as a reference.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. They named it after me. How about that? We have just 3 hours to fix the most pressing problems confronting our nation and the world. We'll take a crack at it, as always, with good humor. And the recognition that there are lots of people who know more than I do. We've invited some of them on the show today. Senate is taking care of business. Today they quashed Byron Dorgan's effort to squeeze the speculation out of the oil market. Later this hour, Jonathan Rentels returns to our program, executive director of a group called Creative Voices. They represent a lot of big media-type stars, Hollywood and otherwise. And we're going to talk about the court decision this week that overturned the fine for the fleeting boob shot. Oh, yeah. Janet Jackson's breast from the halftime show at the Super Bowl a few years back. It drew a $500,000-plus fine for CBS television, and that was overturned this week. We'll talk about that battle over decency, indecency, and the Big Brother aspects of that. Also, we're going to talk about sex next hour with Dagmar Herzog. She's written a book about sex in crisis, trying to take sexuality back from the religious right in this country. And it's not an easy undertaking. We're going to talk with Kathy Zoi. She is the CEO of the Alliance for Climate Protection. That's Al Gore's nonprofit. We're going to talk about Gore's recent call for a 10-year plan to wean us off fossil fuels and address the issues of climate change. We'll also talk about T. Boone Pickens, a corporate raider who's now all over wind power. And I'm just one of those people who's a mite skeptical. In our third and final hour, as usual, Brad Friedman will join us from bradblog.com, and there's a lot to talk about. We're focusing again on Ohio 2004 and attorney Cliff Arnebeck, who has led the charge to expose the stolen election in Ohio in 04, will be joining us along with Brad. And that Republican IT guy, Mike Connell, whose digital fingerprints appear to be all over everything from 2000 to 2002, like the Max Cleland race in Georgia, and then 2004 in Ohio. Well, reportedly, he has received threats from Karl Rove. We'll air that out with Brad and attorney Cliff Arnebeck. That's all coming up here on the program today. And I imagine with Brad, we will talk about the efforts by Dennis Kucinich to lead the House Judiciary Committee to a watering hole called impeachment. And they chose not to drink. To launch our show today, we turn to Robert Perry, journalist who publishes at consortiumnews.com. And his most recent book is called Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. Bob Perry, how are you today?
Good, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm frustrated, and my cynicism is starting to flare up because I rolled out of bed early today, and C-SPAN changed the channel, so I didn't get to catch on TiVo the first part of the judiciary hearings. And then what I did see was just so frustrating because there would be a moment when a Democrat was allowed to use sanitized language to suggest in the passive voice that crimes might have been committed. And then a Republican would come on and say, what, you crazy? Huh? And, of course, Conyers was treading this very fine line because it wasn't technically an impeachment hearing, and therefore they couldn't make very blunt statements about what they consider to be the culpability of the president and other members of the administration. And so it just leaves me with that sense that accountability is something that the Democrats think can be handled with a photo op.
Well, I watched it too, and I share your frustration. There was a certain amount of that, but I think in some ways they had a fairly good explanation of from some of the witnesses, from Liz Holtzman, from Bob Barr, from Bruce Fein, from Kucinich, and others. A pretty good explanation of why impeachment is the way that the Congress has to go in terms of trying to deal with a president who's been out of control and abusing the not only the Constitution but violating specific laws, committing what in every other context would be called a crime, and by not doing it, the consequences of that. There were other people like Vince Bugliosi who was pushing for the idea of a criminal case at some point being brought against President Bush for murder. And you had a few defenders of the Republican side thrown in to say nothing really had happened.
Right.
But I think overall it was surprisingly erudite in terms of laying out the various options that face the nation and the dangers of not doing anything and the options of various ways to maybe at least begin something and maybe have it carry over into the next Congress even. So I think it was sort of a useful exercise, except that it sort of seems like if that's all there is, this little sort of impeachment light hearing, that is frustrating, and it is not a sign of action. It could well become just a sop to Americans who feel something must be done to defend the Constitution.
Well, and they lightly exercised a muscle they promised to never use. So, I mean, it just leaves me, I share your points that, yes, there were these moments when, and Bruce Fein in particular, who was on our show earlier this week.
He was quite articulate.
Yeah, and he impresses me, and I encourage anyone who didn't hear Bruce Fein on Thursday on this program to grab the podcast. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. But he didn't use sanitized language when he talked with me. And he talked about his own frustration with these ground rules. Nonetheless, I thought that he didn't blink and was pretty straightforward in the commentary he offered before the hearing on Friday morning in Washington. But, Bob, we come back to this problem that the Democrats don't intend to really do anything with this. And so those of us who really do want accountability, primarily as a preventative to keep this from happening again, we're really going to come away, you know, just with a sense that, okay, Conyers had enough respect for Kucinich to allow this hearing to occur, but not enough respect for Kucinich and for the seriousness of the impeachment process to really open it up and carry it forward the way it should. And Holtzman, when she was on the program with us earlier this week, made an excellent point that, in her view, the committee and the Congress cannot do nothing. And that they, you know, don't have this luxury or this optional political choice of whether to pursue accountability for this administration or maybe not.
Well, I fully agree with you. There is a problem here, which is that if President Bush is allowed to get away with what he's gotten away with, this real thumbing his nose at Congress, as we talked about in previous weeks, he has not just violated a whole variety of laws and broken a number of the constitutional barriers that should never be broken. He's also defied Congress when they have tried to do fact-finding about his abuses. He keeps asserting this extraordinary executive privilege, and I think there was some interesting testimony on that, something we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite clear that concern is shared by many very thoughtful people, both in Congress and among these witnesses, that the fact that the president can simply say, I'm not going to answer those things, I'm asserting executive privilege, even when it's relating to crimes that he has been culpable in, or his subordinates have done, which he has often authorized or given sanction to, if you can simply say, I'm not going to respond, it defeats the entire concept of what the founders put in place, where there is serious oversight of the executive branch by the Congress. If Congress doesn't do anything, in effect, it is accepting that as precedent. Now, it's possible that the next president, whether McCain or Obama, might not be as abusive to the Constitution as Bush has been. It's sort of hard to imagine someone would be as abusive as Bush has been. But certainly McCain has indicated that he shares many of these views. He wants to appoint more justices to the Supreme Court, like Roberts or Alito, who embrace this idea of an imperial presidency. So you might well have, certainly in a McCain administration, a Supreme Court majority that would begin then to rewrite essentially the Constitution in favor of how Bush has behaved.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be an extraordinary change. And the other point that we've often made that was sort of picked up on, I think, today, is that the whole idea of the war on terror is different from other wars, because when there have been abuses by other presidents in the past, they've been in these finite conflicts. The war on terror is, by definition, virtually endless. So the changes that Bush made are not for some brief period of time in our history that we may look back on and say, wow, that was stupid. This is a case that virtually for the rest of history, the rest of our existence, Bush's theories, the war on terror will continue, therefore the president can do whatever he wants for the duration.
Mm-hmm. And Bob Perry, you raised this first on this program 2-3 months back, relating it to the way Clinton came in and covered over Iran-Contra and did not want to pursue the wrongdoings that were under investigation by Lawrence Walsh. And, you know, Cass Sunstein, very close to Obama, this week went public with comments indicating that we can expect much the same, that he, you know, wants to move forward and doesn't want to get bogged down in the crimes of the past. In the same breath, Sunstein says, well, the really egregious crimes we won't turn a blind eye to, but there is this sense of a straddle and a desire to avoid contentious investigations into Bush and Cheney.
Well, I think that is regrettable. I think there has to be the public has to be given its history honestly as much as that is possible. If it doesn't happen, these things solidify. And we've also seen the Republican Party become virtually a force for saying that up is down. And it's been a recurring thing now where the Republicans feel they can lie about important issues. They did it again today relating to Joe Wilson, continuing their endless calumny against Ambassador Wilson for his patriotic work in both checking out the yellow cake charges and then telling the truth about them. They're still trying to create confusion. They're still trying to smear. it is endless. And I think those kinds of, that ability to maintain these false stories, these false narratives, is terribly destructive for a democracy.
And Bob, when we continue, I want to talk about the false narrative that has been launched this week to try to take the veneer off of Obama's great press coverage on his photo op tour of the Middle East. And that is this whole idea that the surge has worked and he won't admit it. Robert Perry is with us. Read his work at consortiumnews.com. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tuck's, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tuck's, great food, great fun.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Because we said it would. We continue with Robert Perry. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com. They could use your help to pay some great writers, including some former CIA officers who often publish pieces at consortiumnews.com. So take a look at that and help if you can. Bob Perry, you mentioned the idea of the false narrative, which the Republicans are masters at promoting and inserting in our media and the national debate. And one of the memes that surfaced this week against the backdrop of John McCain trying to compete with the brilliantly staged series of photo ops that Obama did on his world tour. Behind that, sniping between the two of them was this subtext of the surge and that it has worked and that Obama won't admit that. And it's coming from every angle, every media commentator. There was Mrs. Greenspan, Andrea Mitchell of NBC, live from Baghdad, and she was complaining because the Obama campaign is using some of the techniques that the Bush campaigns have used in the past to keep the press at arm's length, and she wanted that three-pointer back. But what struck me was that she and others just flatly assert that the surge has worked. They offer no argument or evidence to establish that. And then they say that Obama won't admit it, and it is a kind of subliminal, subconscious backing of the false statements of John McCain.
Well, that's right. I mean, basically, a lot of things have happened in Iraq, and I did a piece earlier this week showing how John McCain was not just someone who went along with President Bush on the Iraq War. He was one of the key people in early 2002 who convinced, who argued for, persuaded the country to pivot out of Afghanistan in a premature fashion and refocus on Iraq. He did this. It was a speech he gave in a Munich, Germany conference in February of 2002, and it's the full Monty of neocon ambitions. So he was pushing this need. He had all the false claims about WMD, all that's in there in that speech, and he pushed to get the invasion, and, of course, Bush was already in line with that, so they moved along and did it. And it's been a disaster in so many ways. Now, as far as what's happened in the last year or two, basically a lot of things were happening by mid-2006. We can go through what I do in the piece showing some of that narrative. There was a lot of losses. The American firepower was devastating, especially in the western part. Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda sort of wild-eyed Jordanian terrorist was mm-hmm. killed in June of 2006.
Right.
We know that from the captured documents, al-Qaeda was very afraid that they were losing a lot of ground. There was a turning of many of the Sunni tribal leaders against them already. They then took bribes and payments from the Americans to turn against al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Al-Sadr militias were standing down their efforts to do ceasefires and political deals. So a lot of things were already happening before the surge, and this is one of the problems where McCain has sort of now tried to redo the narrative.
Well, in the timeline.
Chronology.
Yeah.
And he's pushed it back and said now, even though these things happened before the surge, he's saying, he sort of said the surge really covers them, even though the surge wasn't announced until January and February of 2007. So you have this sort of false narrative, which now so much of the press corps, Jake Tapper was doing the same thing for ABC, and it's become kind of a conventional wisdom that one has to accept the surge as a success. There mm-hmm. was a GAO report that we reported on this week as well, which finds a much more complex, nuanced picture. But with the American press corps, as we've seen it develop, you cannot have a nuanced press picture. It has to be something they can use as a club to beat up whatever progressive or relatively progressive candidates out there.
And, Bob, earlier this week I talked to Professor Juan Cole at the University of Michigan. His website, juancole.com, has regular updates on the situation in Iraq. And as he points out, the violence has trended down to the level of 2005. Now, it peaked in 2007, and we're relieved. Everyone's happy that fewer Americans are being killed and fewer Iraqis appear to be dying. But the level of violence remains very high, and we're claiming, you know, that it's all just been taken care of because it has declined somewhat. And they're drawing, you know, very wrong inferences to simply connect increased troop deployments with all of these various factors that have changed the landscape there. And then when McCain lies about it, the media protects him and allows him to make these unfair attacks on Barack Obama. Bob, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. ConsortiumNews.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Worldwide investing through the eyes of experience for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Slowly but surely in this country, the cancer death rate keeps falling. In the latest year reported, the death rate was 184 per 100,000 cases. The year before, it was 186 per 100,000.
The death rate from all cancers combined continues to decrease by 1% per year, which is what it has averaged since the early 1990s.
More from Dr. Michael Toon of the American Cancer Society after this.
Why take chances with your important documents? Trust the Design Print and Ship Depot at Office Depot, the only place you'll find Xerox certified print specialists. Get your copies made by the experts at Office Depot. Plus, now get 25% off all finishing services, including binding, laminating, and more. At Office Depot, we get it done right and on time. Office Depot, taking care of business. Available in store only. Offers not combinable with any other offer. Expires July 26th.
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial and get unlimited movie rentals. Netflix. See terms of use.
With immigration to this country and the fact that we're living longer now, our population keeps growing. That's why even though the cancer death rate is steadily declining, the number of cancer deaths counted is more than 5,000 higher than last time.
The fact that the death rate is decreasing is very good news for individual risk. It means that the risk to each of us is going down. But that rate has to go down rather rapidly to keep ahead of the increasing size of the population and aging of the population, and that didn't happen this year.
Well, Dr. Toon says this year, he means 2005, since this is the year those statistics are reported.
What's really impressive is that if the death rates in 1991 had persisted, had not gone down, there would have been more than 500,000 cancer deaths that would have happened that didn't happen.
Since the early 90s, our cancer death rate has fallen faster for men than for women.
The decrease is a little larger in men than in women. It's a little over 18% in men and about 10.5% in women.
The toll is still terrible.
About 500,000 die each year, and about 1.4 million people develop cancer each year.
So we've got a long way to go.
Cancer remains a major problem. It's the second leading cause of death over all ages, and it's the leading cause of death in people younger than 85 years.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Over the next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're going to talk about sex in America today.
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition, that girl's going to make me fall. New sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She makes you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She makes you live a crazy life, but she'll take away your pain.
Even notice I switched from English to Spanish there, right in the middle of Ricky Martin's song, huh? It's the Peter B. Collins Show en vivo, all the way live from San Francisco. Nice to have you listening today, and greetings to our weekend listeners on KPOJ 620 in Portland, on the mighty 1090 KPTK in Seattle, and our friends in Missoula, Montana, listening on the station there, too. Joining me now is Jonathan Rentels. He's Executive Director of the Center for Creative Voices in Media, their website, creativevoices.us. And they have long been battling against censorship, prudishness, and a kind of romanticized puritanism that the FCC has tried to impose on American media over the last few years. And Jonathan is here to talk with us today because earlier this week, an appeals court overturned the fine against CBS Television, said they don't have to pay $550,000 for the 9/16ths of a second during which Janet Jackson's nipple, singular, was exposed during the halftime show of the Super Bowl a few years back. Jonathan, welcome to our program today.
Peter, it's always great to be with you.
Good to talk with you, and I consider this a victory. What do you think it's a victory for and a victory over?
Well, I think it's a victory for free speech, against censorship, against arbitrary government dictates as to what Americans can watch on television. I just have you and your listeners remember that more than 30 years ago, there were on a show in primetime television that was required watching for American school children, bare breasts all over the screen.
Wow, I'm trying to remember that what that would be.
Well, there were lynchings, there was rape and murder, there was the N-word, and of course now you know I'm talking about Roots.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes of Roots were a historically accurate depiction of life in an African village.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, there were bare breasts all over the place. So 30 years later, the FCC finds, and by the way, let me correct one thing. Janet Jackson's nipple was not showing. It was actually covered by a pasty.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you know, I was out of the room getting some dip, so I never actually saw it. And, of course, the reruns were always, the breast was digitized. So the nipple never made it. It was simply breast skin around the nipple that was exposed. And the timing, I think I have correct, 9/16ths of a second, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So we did all this over a pasty.
Well, we did, but the fundamental question here and reason that we are so passionate about this is that when the government arbitrarily censors, as the court found that they did, and a different court of appeals found that they did last year in a case involving Cher and Nicole Richie fleeting expletives, Bono during the Golden Globes. You remember that case as well.
Effing brilliant, yeah.
And we won there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that it is so such a powerful statement from the government about fining and what is or is not allowed. And, you know, the increase in fines is now up to $325,000 per incident.
And the performer is liable, and that's an issue.
The performer can be liable.
Yeah.
Performers' contracts are now causing them to indemnify the broadcaster in case a fine later is imposed by the FCC. So broadcasters, out of an abundance of caution, which you can understand completely, are going nowhere near any kind of controversial content that might get them in trouble with the FCC.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the American public is the loser for that, because we need free speech. We need controversial programming and content. We need to discuss these issues.
Well, and mass media cannot be geared to the most prudish of our population. They have a choice. They have a choice to turn off the TV, to leave the TV on, put it on a different channel, to put a DVD on of something happy and pleasant that doesn't offend them. But when people try to impose their system of morality on my viewing, and more importantly, on the creative impulses of people who work in the media, well, we've really given a minority veto to some of the, you know, the most trivial things that, at least in my view, that could be broadcast.
That's really true, Peter. And what resulted from this fine and so many of the other fines, including the ones that were overturned last year, is that the FCC decisions over what constituted indecency, which were very clear prior to the Bush administration reconstituting the FCC, became a matter of whether we like it or not. And, you know, you creative people, political people, people like yourself, you know, running shows, you can't program a show on the basis of whether an FCC in the next 5 years might like it or might not like it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the court meant by arbitrary and capricious.
Well,
they had just gone away from 30 years of precedent as to what constituted indecent content.
And I do understand that in the world where Howard Stern used to be on FM stations across the country, that there was a concern that he was intentionally pushing right up against the limits or you know, pushing beyond them for shock purposes. And, of course, the thing is, the more they fined him, the more his notoriety grew. And it was actually a cycle that just became a minor cost of doing business for Infinity Radio, the company that was syndicating Stern at the time. And so, consciously or unconsciously, the efforts to police it are similar to the efforts that Tipper Gore undertook back in the 80s to put labels on CDs and record albums saying, look here, there are explicit lyrics. Buy this now. It's got explicit, dirty language in it. You can't pass this up. Tipper Gore wants you to know that that's what's in here.
Right. The good housekeeping seal of disapproval.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the days when Howard Stern was on broadcast radio, the fines were only one-tenth per incident what they are now,
mm-hmm.
and per station. So fines, for example, if Howard Stern or any radio or television broadcaster with a, you know, on a lot of stations across the United States, can very quickly run up fines of millions or tens of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Because the FCC will fine per station, per incident.
Yeah. Now, I've never been brought up on any indecency charges, and I've never even heard from the FCC. But, Jonathan, I have to tell you about the chilling effect that these repressive decisions have had. It was about 2 years ago, and the Attorney General of the state of California at the time, a guy named Bill Lockyer, was on this program, and we were chatting away. And the week before, he'd been in Washington, and I asked him to recount an exchange he'd had with a member of Congress. And he used a profanity in the presence of this member of Congress, and you know, he called him a name. And then when he retold the story, he just blurted that A word right out on the radio. And I said, Bill, wait a minute, you're the Attorney General. I said, you should know better than that. And he said, Peter, I'll defend you. And fortunately, I didn't have to collect on that pledge.
Well, you know, President Bush apparently, well, not apparently, he did use an expletive which was caught by microphones and apparently broadcast unbleeped by several broadcast outlets.
Yeah.
And
that was the G8 summit in Moscow?
Yes,
He was talking while he ate and, you know, talking trash to Tony Blair.
Tony Blair, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And my understanding is some complaints were filed, and it will be interesting to see if the FCC, which they never will,
mm-hmm.
will fine broadcasters for airing unedited the president's expletive.
Now, Jonathan Rentels, with this court decision that overturns the fine on CBS, I guess the government may appeal this, and there may be, you know, more legal action that ultimately might even be upheld. But when can we close a chapter on this era of repression?
Well, the next battle is in the Supreme Court. This fall, they'll be taking up the case I referred to last year from the Second Circuit, the Cher and Nicole Richie case. And it will be decided on a fairly narrow legal grounds of whether the FCC abused its discretion in terms of changing its policy. It won't be decided on constitutional grounds. It won't be decided on censorship grounds, supposedly, although, you know, those kinds of things inevitably play into a court's reasoning. But, you know, that with the composition of this Supreme Court, that is a very close case. So we're working very hard to, get the Second Circuit's judgment that the FCC, again, abused its discretion, was arbitrary and capricious,
mm-hmm.
upheld by the Supreme Court. So if the Supreme Court says that, and then we have a new administration next January that hopefully sees these things in a much better and more constitutional light, then perhaps, you know, the clouds will part and the sun will shine again.
Yeah. But in the meantime, it's a whole gray area for people who are in the creative arts, people who work behind a microphone on radio or television. Because the fleeting expletive fines really leave you vulnerable. I did not ask the Attorney General to use the a-hole word. I thought he would have the good judgment not to. But, you know, after that occurred, I did sweat it for a couple of weeks, expecting a letter to arrive on that official FCC stationery.
And you have to sweat it for up to 5 years.
Yeah, because if somebody rolled tape on it, that's really the critical part here. If somebody recorded it and sent that recording to the FCC, they don't really have a choice. Once a complaint is presented with evidence, they have to at least process it. They could later dismiss it. But it does require some enforcement action on their part.
That's right.
And we've seen these right-wing groups training people to monitor the media, look for these alleged offenses. And there was a whole rash of complaints in the first 2 years of the Bush administration. It's kind of tailed off, hasn't it, Jonathan?
It has a little bit. And, you know, people have gotten wise to calling out the Parents Television Council and the American Family Association about these, you know, this tsunami of canned complaints that they end up sending into the commission and claiming there are hundreds of thousands of them when there are really very few that people who actually watched the program. Another clever thing that they're doing, which unfortunately they apparently have the right to do, is they're in television was supposed to be, it is true of radio too, after 10 o'clock, the safe harbor.
Right.
Where you could programmed to an adult taste,
mm-hmm.
and the indecency rules didn't apply up until 6 o'clock the next morning. And so what the Parents Television Council did was take a look at all these 10 o'clock shows except in the central and mountain time zones,
mm-hmm.
where they're on at 9 o'clock because of the history of prime time starting an hour earlier there.
Yeah.
And so suddenly, NYPD Blue, which was programmed to be a 10 o'clock show for adults, was being found indecent in the central time zone, that a show that was on at 10 o'clock in Nashville, in Knoxville, Tennessee, eastern time zone,
mm-hmm.
if you drive down the road to Nashville, Tennessee, central time zone, show on at exactly the same time, it's indecent in Nashville, Tennessee, but not indecent in Knoxville, Tennessee.
What a difference an hour makes. We'll continue in just a moment. Jonathan Rintels from Creative, it's the Center for Creative Voices in Media, and their website has commentary on this and other issues, creativevoices.us. And as we head to a break, I don't have any Janet Jackson music, but this is music by my friend Michael Andre Ortega from Santa Cruz, whose distinction is Janet Jackson and his her producers stole a song from Michael. Years of court battles and some sort of out-of-court settlement, he drives a Lexus now with the license plate Janet. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Will you cover that breast, please?
Hi, this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's progressive voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Show, talking about this Super Bowl flash of flesh from Janet Jackson a few years ago. That's Joan Osborne. It's called Let's Just Get Naked, but not on TV. I mean, we were born naked, but you cannot expose that on television because, well, we have to gear it to the most prudish among us. Jonathan Rintel's with us from the Center for Creative Voices in Media. Again, their website, creativevoices.us. A lot of good information about these free speech issues. And, Jonathan, you know, it's not my desire to impose my broader tastes or tolerances or sensibilities on people who don't have that same, you know, comfort. But how is it that we've gotten into this Puritan phase where really the least tolerant people can impose their standards on the rest of us?
Well, the chairman of the FCC in a few years back was Michael Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was appointed by President Bush, a good Republican, a free marketer, deregulated media like mad, leading to the rampant consolidation of media that we have, which we've talked about previously. But he was a loyal soldier in the Bush administration, and the religious right and the conservative groups saw this as an important issue to them. And they demanded that Bush and his administration and Michael Powell take action on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 2004, when Janet Jackson did bare her breast at the Super Bowl.
Almost.
Was an election year. And this was a huge and defining issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
This was a distinguishing issue between Bush and Kerry.
Yeah, don't end the war, but please cover all nipples.
Absolutely.
Even though the nipple was covered.
we're going to rein in that Hollywood sleaze, popular culture, MTV, decadent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of it. And, you know, what was astonishing to so many people who had dealt with the FCC over the years was that Michael Powell had refused to take part to vote up indecency fines. He didn't believe in it. He said, well, people have the V-chip, people have alternatives, we'll let the market take its course, people ought to complain to the broadcaster or the advertisers, but the government shouldn't be involved. But when he was in a position of power and he was called upon to take action, he took action.
Mm-hmm.
He really did a 180. And what's so fascinating was there was a statement released by his top aide after the Janet Jackson FCC indecency fine was thrown out by the court this week that the government never should have been involved in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How refreshing.
So apparently he saw the light. But
yeah. Now, to be fair, Michael Copps is an FCC commissioner and a Democrat who came out of the Senate Commerce Committee, and he's a great guy on most issues. I've talked with him many times. I appreciate his work to fight further consolidation and to promote diversity in media ownership and other aspects. But he's a pro-censorship guy when it comes to what he considers to be indecency.
That's true. And that's very unfortunate. I've had the same experience with him. He's wonderful on consolidation and on adding more independent and diverse voices to the media mix and broadening ownership. But on this issue, he's unfortunately, we think, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's so important for the FCC to have a very clear line and stick to it.
Yeah.
Because when things are gray, things are arbitrary, then the commissioners can just exercise the rule of, I like it, so it must be okay, or I don't like it, so it must be indecent.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this
and that's
is
where we are today.
This is not about indecency, but the FCC is poised to approve the merger of the only two satellite radio companies, XM and Sirius. And frankly, I'm disappointed because they They maneuvered the system to get two licenses, only two. They promised a lot. They underdelivered. And now they're crunching the subscribers to those two services. You're going to have to pick one. And that's our FCC at work. And to their credit, Copps and Adelstein did oppose that. But it appears that the fix is in. And then after a few more skirmishes, it will be approved. Jonathan, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Peter, it's been great. I enjoyed it.
Jonathan Rintels, the Center for Creative Voices in Media, creativevoices.us on the web. We'll take a break and return. Stay with us if you possibly can. You can catch a podcast of this or other portions of the Peter B. Collins Show and share it with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Back up the car, gasoline prices are coming down.
There's a high probability that this weekend the average price for self-serve regular will fall below $4 a gallon.
Barack Obama in Paris, John McCain in attack mode.
Given the opportunity to choose between failure and success, he chose failure.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The price of crude oil is at a seven-week low, down more than $2 today to settle at $123.26 a barrel. Analysts credit the strengthening dollar and falling demand. You've probably noticed gasoline prices starting to come down. Troy Green of AAA says the national average is down 10 cents in less than a week to 401. He thinks it will go below $4 this weekend and could keep falling.
There's a chance that we could see gasoline drop an additional 25 cents per gallon between now and the Labor Day holiday weekend if the price of crude oil continues to drop.
Jeff Sundstrom, AAA's fuel price analyst, says gas stations want you back to buy Slim Jims and sodas.
Now that the oil prices come down, your local retailer is trying to stimulate traffic back into their convenience store, and they are dropping prices just as quickly as they can.
Now this.
All right, so you want to install carpet in how many rooms?
All of them.
Ouch, that hurts.
No, see, it's only $199. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's time to save big on carpet installation. Right now at the Home Depot, basic installation is just $199. That's any carpet style, all at our everyday low prices, and any number of rooms. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot has low prices, so you don't have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot Work-Life Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. In-stock guarantee not available in Alaska or Hawaii. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP. See store for details.
Another casualty of high fuel prices, auto leasing.
We really reached a point today in this environment where the advantages of leasing, the economic advantages, have really disappeared.
Chrysler President Jim Press announcing that the company's credit arm, Chrysler Financial, will get out of the leasing business before the end of the year. Joanne Muller is Forbes, Detroit Bureau Chief.
The economics have shifted largely because the value of used cars, particularly SUVs and trucks that are coming back to the car makers now, these are cars that would have been leased 3 years ago, just aren't worth what they thought they would be. And so they're taking a huge financial hit.
It's not just Chrysler. Ford Motor Credit has written off more than $2 billion because of the falling value of leased vehicles. General Motors says potential buyers have expressed interest in its Hummer brand, and it's moving as quickly as possible to make a deal. Barack Obama looked like a visiting head of state today at an appearance with French President Nicolas Sarkozy in Paris.
An effective U.S. foreign policy will be based on our ability not only to project power, but also to listen and to build consensus.
John McCain, competing for attention, stepped up his attacks on Obama. Speaking to a veterans group in Denver, he called Obama's opposition to the troop surge in Iraq the audacity of hopelessness.
He not only opposed the new strategy, but actually tried to prevent us from implementing it. He didn't just advocate defeat, he tried to legislate it.
If Obama's view had prevailed, McCain said the entire Middle East could have been plunged into war. Later, after meeting with the Dalai Lama in Aspen, McCain called on China to release those arrested during the Tibetan uprising. Food safety investigators have narrowed their focus again.
The FDA's advice to avoid raw jalapeno peppers and foods that contain them now applies only to jalapeno peppers grown, harvested, or packed in Mexico.
Dr. David Acheson says domestic jalapenos are safe. Salmonella has sickened nearly 1,300 people since the outbreak began in April. Mexico says today's announcement was premature. Yesterday, we were told that sales of existing homes fell a steep 2.6% in June. Today, the Commerce Department reported that new home sales were down 0.6%, less than expected. Dean Mackey is chief economist at Barclays Capital.
What the data suggests is that the pace of decline has moderated, and they do suggest that we may have put in a bottom, at least a near-term bottom, back in March.
Another report says foreclosures in the second quarter more than doubled from the same period last year. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's time to get more for less. Because right now at the Home Depot end of season clearance event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store. Everything from cordless power tools, hand tools, wet dry vacs, and more. All from your favorite brands like Ridgid, Ryobi, and DeWalt. Just look for the yellow tags and save. At the Home Depot end of season clearance event, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
For this summer's ultimate fun on the water experience, you need to get into a Sea-Doo personal watercrafter sport boat. For a very limited time, you can get no money down, no interest, and no payments until next season. Plus a gas card valued up to $2,000 based on model or a 3-year limited warranty. Hurry in to your local Sea-Doo dealer today for details. Sea-Doo, the good life just got better. Offer ends 8/21/08, subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details or visit.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, he's pro-sex, too. Can we have the announcer add that? About A-Rod?
I would be incomplete. I've been had. I was sad and blue, but you made me feel. Yeah, you made me feel shiny and new. Like a virgin.
In a moment, we'll meet Dagmar Herzog, the author of Sex in Crisis. And in the book she writes, the current war over sex in this country is not just a culture war. It's an emotional war, one that sets up battle lines inside individuals. It's a war that works to put women in their place as well as to confuse and disorient men. It is a war, page turn, whose shock troops bank on the inevitable imperfections of sex and the equally inevitable feelings of vulnerability that sex can induce, just as it can induce feelings of pleasure.
Make me strong. Yeah, you make me fall. Oh, you love it all. Yeah, you love it all. What was getting cold?
one aspect of ridiculousness about sexuality is served up in this little spoof song from my friend Roy Zimmerman. It's about the abstinence-only movement promoted by evangelicals and right-wing nuts. See if you can get in the groove and abstain with me.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby.
All night long?
All night long.
Oh, yeah.
Come over and refrain with me, baby.
Then we can pray on it, don't you think?
I'm gonna wanna jump your bones. I'm gonna have to dump that Jones. So come on now, get stoned in lover's lane with me. Abstain with me.
Dagmar Herzog joins me now, professor of history at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. She's written Intimacy and Exclusion and Sex After Fascism. The new book is entitled Sex in Crisis, The New Sexual Revolution and the Future of American Politics. Dagmar Herzog, welcome to our program.
I'm very glad to be here.
And will you abstain with me for just the next 20 minutes or so?
I would love to, but only if I can hold your hand while we're doing it.
Now, tell our listeners, you just survived an hour on a right-wing evangelical radio show.
You won't believe this. They decided to postpone until Tuesday.
Oh,
and I was
really?
All prepared, but you know what? It's good because it means I get to burn up on my Bible over the weekend, so it's okay.
So, did they pull out on you?
They pulled out on me. That's right. It's okay.
It kind of made
you. Sometimes withdrawal is the right thing to do.
Yeah, it kind of made
you. Withdrawal being a time-honored way of trying to avoid pregnancy.
Absolutely. So you write in your book about the abstinence movement, you say the most striking aspect is how it blames all the emotional ambivalences and complexities of marital as of any sex, all the inevitable moments of alienation, longing, confusion, or incomplete satisfaction on premarital experiences. And I've always found it bizarre that people believe that imposing abstinence is really a good thing. It's like they're trying to punish themselves for their urges as a teenager by imposing different rules on their own kids.
Well, it is puzzling what's really motivating these people, but it's a fact that they've succeeded, of course, in destroying sex education in this country. I mean, even those schools that still offer so-called comprehensive sex ed really are offering abstinence plus curriculum, in mm-hmm. which don't do it is taking up the bulk of the space, and then there's a little tiny mention of contraceptives and condoms.
Right.
This is alarming. Because we're not just withholding information from young people, we're actually actively lying to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what these curricula say is that premarital sex is dirty and demeaning. It will cause depression and suicide. The federal government in 2006 mandated that that be said in any sex education curriculum getting federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, premarital sex does not cause depression and suicide. There's plenty of marital sex that does cause depression, but this is outrageous. Only 10 years ago, Americans were perfectly comfortable with premarital sex. In fact, 95% of Americans have engaged in premarital sex, and most of them know that it makes their marriages happier.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it's unclear to me how the religious right succeeded in putting liberals on the defensive, but what I had as my organizing puzzle when I started researching the book was precisely this question. Why is it that Democrats are the tongue-tied ones and Republicans are doing all the talking? I mean, how is it, in fact, that the religious right did the sex work for the Republican Party?
Well, this is a very important point because we haven't seen a healthy pushback from pro-sex forces in this country. We are cowed by the morality that is imposed on us in the media, in politics, and because of the very close divide between the political parties, the Democrats are scared to death.
In fact, in 2007, even though they'd won in 2006 and 2007, they voted to refinance abstinence education.
Yeah. And
so,
they
it's weird because abstinence education actually has its roots in just the ugliest kind of racism against African-American women. I mean, that's where it had its origins. The Heritage Foundation, the right-wing think tank, wrote the first abstinence education program into Bill Clinton's welfare reform bill in 1996.
Thank you. You just completed the sentence I was interrupting you.
Okay.
Because it is important to note that the first federal funding for this misguided abstinence education programs came from Bill Clinton as part of that bungled welfare reform.
That's right, because he was so anxious that Hillary Clinton's health care reform had been killed by Newt Gingrich and others, and he desperately needed welfare reform to pass. And, you know, the media put a lot of effort into accompanying the welfare reform efforts with images of black women with their babies. It was horrendous, when in fact, of course, the majority of women on welfare in this country are actually white.
Yep.
The whole effort to do all this was mobilized through racism. And what's really interesting, of course, is that the abstinence ed was directed at that category of people. At the end of the 90s, Americans thought premarital sex was totally normal. Nobody questioned it. No evangelicals questioned it. I mean, the whole idea of sort of pet your dog, not your date, was laughed at as late as the late 90s. It's only since 2000 that Americans have gotten so intimidated they can't open their mouths about this anymore. And that was one of the things I wanted to explain. What was it that changed that made it possible for the religious right not only to go after homosexuals, which they did so successfully through the 90s, but to attack the heterosexual majority as well?
Yeah. And if you could, just put a few figures on it. Just how wildly successful has abstinence education been?
Well, if you count it in terms of does it keep people from having sex, the answer is no. If you count it in terms of has it succeeded in screwing a lot of people up, the answer is it's been wildly successful.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to has it kept people from having sex, the answer is no.
STDs? What about STDs in pregnancy?
It has not succeeded in that area. Basically, I'll take those one by one. STDs are rising. Pregnancy has gone down, but that is because of increased contraceptive use.
Mm-hmm.
Very small percentage has to do with increased abstinence, and that's in the 15 to 17-year-old set. But for the 17 to 19-year-old set, it's increased contraceptive use.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, I mean, the one study everybody always cites, is that virginity pledgers, tend to delay having their first intercourse. We're not talking about other kinds of sexual encounters, but their first intercourse
mm-hmm.
18 months later than non-pledgers. But when they do so, they tend to have it be riskier without protection and therefore make themselves vulnerable to pregnancy
mm-hmm.
and disease.
And what about the shift from vaginal sex to oral and anal sex?
Well, you know, I celebrate that shift. But
that's great.
I think it's a big plus because it's a way to avoid pregnancy and therefore also to bring the abortion rate down. So everybody should be celebrating oral and anal sex, and I think it should be discussed in high school classrooms as a great way to avoid that. But that's one of the complaints I have about abstinence education, that you no longer are allowed to talk about those other things.
Mm-hmm. And specifically,
but in fact, of course, many evangelical and non-evangelical young people, when they answer these little surveys about what they do, claim that they're virgins if they've done oral or anal as opposed to vaginal.
Right. Yeah, they use the Bill Clinton vocabulary.
Of course, and why not? Why not lie on those things? In fact, the recent study that was done that revisited a long longitudinal study that had gone back to the same kids who had taken pledges several years earlier and asked again about their lives,
mm-hmm.
What they discovered, this is really quite fascinating, is that whether or not people said they were a virgin had everything to do with whether or not they had taken on a born-again Christian identity recently.
Really?
And people claimed to be virgins in the later study, even though they'd already admitted having sex in the earlier study. Interesting,
that,
right?
Yeah, that is.
One of the big moves now in this new abstinence education and the abstinence websites on the Internet, which are also put out by government sites. You can check out the Florida Department of Health. It's especially egregious. What they do is recommend secondary virginity. And one of the biggest things that I discovered when I did the research for Sex in Crisis is that this is paradoxical but crucial. This is my take-home message. The religious right succeeded by secularizing. They're making their arguments in terms of health. Physical health is part of it because they wildly exaggerate the dangers of sexually transmitted diseases while denigrating the effectiveness of condoms. But
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing to grasp that nobody else has noticed is that they've taken over the terrain of psychological health. So this whole thing about self-esteem versus depressions
mm-hmm.
is the way they work the abstinence angle. So the whole thing is that basically those who abstain are going to get A's or will do well in sports. Virgins have better life outcomes, they argue. And literally they say, even if you've had sex before, stop. Take back control. Show that you value yourself. You are worth the wait.
Don't be weak. Don't give in to the flesh and those desires that the devil promotes, because you might enjoy it.
But look, if you're living in some little town, or even if you live in a big city like New York City, maybe the people you know in your high school aren't that sexually exciting, and maybe you want to wait, and that's totally cool. I mean, what did feminists fight for all those years?
Right.
For the right to say no. No, not sex with you. No, I'm not interested. No, not now.
We got
to
take a break.
To do that particular activity.
We'll return.
That's
with
the same thing as a one-size-fits-all recommendation.
Dagmar, we'll take a break and return. Dagmar Herzog, the author of Sex in Crisis. You got a question or a comment? Well, put your clothes on and give me a call. Toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. You don't have to put your clothes on. We're not going to check. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday to you. Nate Nix checking traffic on KRXA. Starting Santa Cruz County, South 1 after Marmonte Avenue. We have an accident. Minor one, two cars. They are both off to the right-hand shoulder. King City, North 101 at Canal Street, an accident. Two cars, both off to the side. Opal Cliffs, 38th Avenue at Portola Drive. Injury crash there with a vehicle and a bicyclist down. That does have the roadway blocked, and you have emergency crews on the way. Capitola, Southbound 1 off-ramp to Park Avenue. An accident with two cars off to the side. CHP should be out there taking a report. And up in Felton, Highway 9 at Graham Hill Road, broken down minivan tying up some lanes there. Oh, Southbound 1 at West Airport Boulevard, by the way, Watsonville, we've gotten reports of an injury crash. That may be blocking the right-hand lane. Emergency crews on the scene wrapping things up. This is brought to you by Office Depot. Hurry into Office Depot where you can get all the top brands of ink and toner at low prices to keep you printing for less. Office Depot, taking care of business. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
and shake it like a Polaroid picture. Sex in Crisis is the title of the new book from Dagmar Herzog. She's with us on the program today. Dagmar, I want to swap a couple of stories, actually just one each here, about efforts to, make teens feel guilty about sexual urges, and in particular the natural desire to pleasure oneself, onanism, masturbation, there are many ways to describe it. And when I was going to a Jesuit high school, there was this one priest, Father Ratterman, who loved to make kids feel guilty about the natural sexual desires. And he wrote a little pamphlet called, Sex, Masturbation, and the Christian Young Man. And he was very proud of that. And I said, well, Father, all this is going to do is make people feel guilty. And he said, yeah, that's a good thing. Well, fast forward a couple of years, I was hitchhiking through town to meet my girlfriend at the Holiday Inn. And the guy who picked me up and took me there was Father Ratterman. So I got the last laugh on that one. But tell us about these two guys, Stephen Arterburn and Fred Stoker, who are responsible for great titles like Every Man's Battle, Winning the War on Sexual Temptation, One Victory at a Time.
Yeah, well, there have been 3 million anti-masturbation books sold since the year 2000, and theirs is the bestseller.
Wow, that's a new kind of Left Behind.
Right. And I think what we need to understand is there must be a vast ocean of marital pain out there. There's otherwise no explanation for the audience for these books. And they're actually not directed so much at young people as post-married people.
Oh, really?
And they're really designed to help men break the porn habit and find their wives desirable again. I mean, mm-hmm. It's creepy beyond belief. They basically tell you that the way you or I would maybe yank our hands back off a hot stove, having good sense, of course, that's what you do automatically. They try to teach men to jerk their eyes away, bounce their eyes if they see a pretty woman.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, retrain their brains so they will once again find their wives now naggy or imperfectly bodied or boring or whatever, again, sexually desirable. I mean, who would want to be wanted under these circumstances is beyond me. But
yeah.
What's really incredible about these books, they claim that they're Christian, they claim they're evangelical, they are unbelievably pornographic. They're filled with little soft core scenarios.
Really?
Even as they're telling people that if you masturbate, it will destroy your ability to love.
Huh.
These elemental anxieties. I mean, here's one of the big explanations I came up with for why Americans got so damn freaked out that they couldn't say sex is okay anymore is for two reasons. It's counterintuitive. One is the discovery of Viagra in 98,
mm-hmm.
and the other is the rise of Internet porn. And you would think this would not have the effect that it did, but Viagra raised this. It helped millions of couples. It's a great drug. But it also raised this little puzzle, which is it the drug turning the man on or the woman he's in bed with?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a delicate issue that was sort of in the shadows that got dragged out into the light of day. And the other thing that happened was Internet porn raised this issue of, is it the images swirling in your head? Is it your fantasies that are turning you on or the body in bed with you? And I cannot describe to you how depressing it was, not only to read evangelical sex advice, which is depressing in and of itself, but yeah. Also all the mainstream women's magazines jumped on this bandwagon. And the pharmaceutical companies were so eager to reach the other half of the human race and create a pink Viagra that they have generated enormous hysteria around this issue that maybe women's sexuality could be also improved,
mm-hmm.
that they could have higher levels of desire and arousal and better orgasms with drugs. And so they've emphasized that everyone is sexually miserable and that it should be better than it is. So that's one big media spasm that's been going on, and I could say more about it, but it's unbelievable the amount of policing and anxiety inducement that's going on about, do you have muffled orgasms, little feeble fizzles, and they're not spectacular enough? Try testosterone. Try apomorphine. It's unbelievable how much this is going on. And then there's the whole thing about Internet porn, which has had a spin-off effect. On the one hand, there's the endless reports about men who would rather masturbate to the computer than have sex with their wives, and that's where Arterburn and Stoker are inserting themselves. That's
mm-hmm.
their issue about
mm-hmm.
how do you break your husband's porn habit and make him want you again, which is just anguishing that they're offering, telling women to offer their husbands quickies even when they're not in the mood themselves so that men will stop being tempted by, you know, the lingerie ads in the Sunday paper or Victoria's Secret booby women and instead want their wives again. This is just this unbelievably heartbreaking thing.
And it just strikes me, Dagmar, that these are issues best left to lovers to work out on their own, not to have anybody else give free advice and tell you how to express your sexuality. That's my big...
I cannot tell you. There are now workshops where you can go for the weekend and spend a lot of money having people help you break your masturbation habits.
Oh,
and there are Bible study groups where they use these books and all these men sit around. I mean, you don't think this is a perversion? All these men sit around talking about how
Dagmar,
to bother.
I got to go. Thank you very much. Dagmar Herzog, Sex in Crisis.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It must be driving him crazy. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Barack Obama's trip must be driving John McCain crazy. When McCain himself traveled to Iraq, the news coverage was about him getting Sunnis mixed up with Shiites and walking through a market surrounded by security forces claiming it proved Baghdad was safe again. Obama comes to town, and does the coverage focus on how he was against the surge, which seems to have worked? No. All we hear about is how the Iraqis seem to like the idea of getting U.S. troops out ASAP. McCain hoped Obama's withdrawal plan would come across as naive, and here's the Iraqi government saying, 16 months sounds good. He hasn't even had the decency to commit a newsworthy gaffe. And all of this on a trip that John McCain shamed him into taking. But he did make an interesting promise while he was in Afghanistan.
Losing is not an option when it comes to Al-Qaeda, and it never has been.
That was a promise to win the war in Afghanistan. And when CBS correspondent Laura Logan asked him how he'd define mission accomplished, here's what he said.
That we have stabilized Afghanistan, that the Afghan people are experiencing rising standards of living, that we have made sure that we are disabling Al-Qaeda and the Taliban so that they can no longer attack Afghanistan, they can no longer engage in attacks against targets in Pakistan, and they can't target the United States or its allies.
That certainly sounds good, but I did notice one interesting omission. Did you hear any mention of a timetable? Like I say, it must be driving John McCain crazy. Now this.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Bomb.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Floods, heat waves, wildfires, melting glaciers.
Dark clouds in the sky. Strange weather. So much together. Nothing quite like this. Something's come between us now. I can feel it in your face. Tell me, girl, what's in your heart?
That song's called Strange Weather from Glenn Frey, the ex-Eagle. Joining me now is Kathy Zoy. She's the CEO of the Alliance for Climate Change. That's the nonprofit set up by Al Gore. And that nonprofit has received proceeds from the Nobel Prize and from the documentary film An Inconvenient Truth. Kathy Zoy, welcome back to our program today.
Hey, great to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And quite a bit has been going on. Senator Gore, Vice President Gore, gave a great speech, just about a week and a half ago, calling on us to adopt a 10-year plan to wean ourselves from fossil fuels and move to alternative energy sources. And I think it's been fairly well received. What's your take? What kind of feedback are you getting?
Oh, really, really positive. I mean, it's obviously tapped into an excitement of, and a thinking about the possibilities of what this country can be now and how we can refocus. I mean, we've got a confluence of some serious problems here. You know, the high gas prices, reliance on fossil fuels, which is hurting our national security. We've got a lagging economy, and then we've got the climate crisis, which Al Gore has, of course, been talking about for many, many years. All of those three come together, and the last week's speech, he kind of pointed out, look, there's an elegant way to deal with all three of these at once if we would get going and spend the next 10 years making our electricity come from sources that don't emit carbon to the atmosphere and that don't rely on fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll strengthen the economy. So it was a great call to action for all of us. And I think we've tapped into something that people are overwhelmingly excited to get going on.
And, Kathy, I contrast that with the lame statement made at the G8 summit, which set some goals for 2050. And, you know, that was really led by the Bush administration. They didn't want to set any really hard and fast rules. And to be fair, there is also resistance from China and a couple of other major developing nations.
Yeah, well, I mean, the government that we've had in Washington for the past 8 years has been woefully inadequate in responding to the challenges of our dependence on fossil fuels and of climate change, and look at what it's done to the economy. Having 2050 goals is just simply not enough. I mean, I know every week we hear from the scientists that the effects of climate change are getting worse. And more severe, they're going to rear their ugly heads, and the consequences are going to be irreversible if we don't get going soon to turn them around. But let me not be negative. The good news is that we have the technological capability to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got technologies in the arsenal that we can just ramp up over the next decade, save ourselves money and strengthen the economy. And that's what's sort of so disappointing about the lack of government leadership we've had in recent years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathy Zoy, before you came to the Alliance, you were in Australia, and you worked at the Bayard Group. Tell us a little bit about what you did there and how it ties in with trying to control our consumption of energy and ultimately reduce the demand.
Well, my former company in Australia was a big investor in a particular part of the solution to the climate change, and we were investing in smart metering technologies, and those are technologies that can help consumers understand how much it's costing them to consume electricity and when they can save money by conserving electricity or using it different times of the day. One of the things that Al Gore's announcement last week, his speech last week, will rely on is improving our energy efficiency, and that is low-hanging fruit. It'll strengthen the economy again, save people money on their power bills, and it'll mean that we don't need to build as many new power plants to meet our energy demands. My former job in Australia was demonstrating that is indeed the case. When you roll out these smart metering technologies, which are just starting to get rolled out here in the United States, I mean, California is starting on it, and Texas is starting on it, and I don't know how far the Pacific Northwest has gotten. Those technologies, again, are saving people money and contributing to reducing our greenhouse gas emissions.
Mm-hmm. And, Kathy, I just have to ask a personal aside. While you were in Australia, did you have any contact with Peter Garrett? He was the lead singer of Midnight Oil, one of my favorite Aussie bands, and he's now part of the government there.
I'm pleased to be able to report that Peter is a very, very close friend of mine. Yes, he's now the environment minister. And here's a guy who has always been a leader in progressive thinking.
Oh, yeah.
And he's an unbelievably good performer. And it's really, really neat that the Australian people can support such a progressive leader getting into government and having a very, very important role. He and I got together in Bali last December where one of his first things as the minister of the newly elected progressive government of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really fun to catch up.
Yeah. Well, I talked to him once to say hi, but I've seen him in concert 6 or 8 times, and I love their music, and he is just a really smart man who isn't a bad front man for a rock band, but he seems to have made an interesting transition as a policy wonk into the actual government thing, which is not so easy.
No, he has made that transition beautifully. I mean, what we found in Australia, that the election took place last November. It was the first national election where climate change was a top 3 voting issue held anywhere in the world. And there were a number of reasons that it became a top voting issue. I mean, Al Gore's movie did very well in Australia. There was a high degree of awareness of the people, in part because the drought in Australia has been so terrible. I mean, there have been water restrictions in place in every major city and in the country, rural areas, for a long, long time. So people felt like we need to elect a government that's going to do something about it. We think the progressive government is just going to do much better than these other guys have done. And again, I am hoping that similarly, we Americans make voting a top 3 issue, or make their voting on climate change a top 3 issue in this upcoming election.
Mm-hmm. Kathy Zoya is with us. She's CEO of the Alliance for Climate Protection. That is the nonprofit set up by Vice President Gore. And you can visit their website at wecansolveit.org. WeCanSolveIt.org. You've probably seen some of their television commercials over the last few months with some rather unusual pairs of characters just saying that we don't agree about much else, but we certainly do agree that human behavior is warming our climate and affecting the future of our planet. I think they've been very effective. Tell me a little bit about the kind of feedback you've been getting from the ad campaign, Kathy.
Oh, well, those spots that you refer to are called our unlikely alliances. We've got a whole series of them. And one of the reasons, first of all, to answer your question, great feedback, because they're so surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, really unusual to be able to have Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi sitting together on the love seat and to have Pat Robertson and Al Sharpton sitting together saying, just as you did, we don't agree on much, but we agree that we need to get on to solving the climate crisis. What we find is, unfortunately, climate change has become a really partisan issue, and it shouldn't be. It's a moral issue. It's an issue of economic opportunity if we get on to solving it. But more, if you ask the public questions about climate change, if somebody tends to be a Republican voter, then they tend to not be a supportive of policy. So one of the reasons that we initiated that particular campaign is to show leadership saying, regardless of political persuasion, I support action on climate change.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathy, I want to articulate this properly because one of my concerns is that we have some new volunteers to the green movement and to combating climate change. And some of them are really proponents of expansion of nuclear power generation in this country. And we did a couple of segments on this earlier this week, and just for your benefit, I'm not unalterably opposed to expansion of nuclear power generation, but I have serious doubts that it can be done safely, that we can deal with the waste, that we can reduce the kind of cost overruns that plague construction in that industry from really the beginning. And so I'm a little concerned that people are trying to use the climate change issue to seduce Americans into lowering their resistance to expansion of nuclear power generation.
Look, I think that the practical realities of siting, building, using, deploying nuclear power plants are going to be the biggest inhibitor. I mean, when you look at the issues that you've raised, safety, insurance for accidents, you know, the decommissioning costs, getting it through the local siting authorities because nobody wants one nearby. They only come in one size, and that's extra large. All of those issues, when you add up all of those issues, it's very, very, very expensive to try to build a nuclear power plant, and it takes a very, very long time.
All right, but now, the Nuclear Energy Industry and Institute, that's their lobbying group, they're anticipating the very comments you made. And one is that they have arranged, or they think they have, to separate the site approval from the plant approval, and they're trying to use a generic reactor to try to reduce resistance and concern over specific reactor installations. And I believe that they're trying to anticipate all of those objections, and they have a plan to spend a whole lot of money to persuade Americans that nuclear power is safe and that somehow it is better. And certainly, you know, in terms of purely of emissions, we know that coal-fired power plants are emitting nearly half of the carbon into our air right now, and that you know, reducing that is a worthwhile goal. But they don't mention that the cooling systems required for nuclear power plants end up warming rivers and other bodies of water where they're generally sited next to.
Well, that's right. All of those issues are going to have to be prosecuted and debated in the public domain. And here's what I think is going to be the biggest inhibitor, is that there are abundant alternatives now that are cheaper, that don't have any of those drawbacks. So let's talk for a second about the potential for solar thermal power plants that come along with storage. Now, here's a fact that sometimes makes people heads spin. If you take a 94-mile by 94-mile piece of the vast Southwest desert in America, you fill it up with mirrors, you concentrate that heat that comes from the sun, because it's very, you know, it's like almost cloudless entirely, right? You use that heat, you simply boil water and turn turbines with it. That one parcel of land is enough to generate all of America's electricity. Now, I'm not suggesting that we actually do that. We don't need to sort of have just one place where we generate our power, but the potential is there. It's just astonishing. And what those power plants can now do is generate extra and store it overnight. So essentially, you've got solar thermal plants that are going to be sited that are like baseload power plants that run just like a nuke would or just like a coal plant would. Which is again, those are new developments now. They're within our reach. There are companies that are building thousands of megawatts in the Southwest now that use these technologies. So that's sort of option one. Option two, we've got about eight times the amount of wind potential in this country that compared to what we use every day. So eight times in theory of wind. So there's another resource that is at our disposal. Again, wind is a very, very mature technology. Denmark relies on wind for 20% of its power right now. The United States has experience with wind. We were like for 3 years running, we were the largest installer of wind. Now it's still a very overall small part of our overall mix, but it can grow much larger. I mean, folks like T. Boone Pickens are now, rather than saying we need to drill more, they're saying we need to actually build wind turbines. So that's, again, another area of huge potential. If you compare the problems and the challenges associated with building a nuclear power plant to those two options that I just outlined, solar and wind, I think that we're not going to have the nukes because there's just too much overhead.
Well, I'm glad to hear this, and you're very persuasive, Kathy, but I have to point out that in his speech recently, Vice President Gore tipped his hat in the direction of nuclear power, and Senator Obama has a carefully written phrase where he talks about researching to make nuclear power safe. So they're at least mentioning it as a part of the mix, and I find that troubling because I think that the industry will take that as a green light and continue to try to greenwash about nuclear power.
Well, then we get back to what do the people want, and the we campaign is one of the things that we want to do is pull together 10 million people, at least 10 million Americans who want to join us on the side of solutions. Thank you for mentioning our website, WeCanSolveIt.org. It takes 1 minute to become a member. It's free, and we've already got close to 1.5 million people. We just launched our campaign in April. We want to raise an army of 10 million people who want to be on the side of clean solutions, and you know, we hope your listeners will take the opportunity to join us and be part of that and make their voices heard.
All right, WeCanSolveIt.org. Check out the website. As you heard, it only takes a minute to join. We're going to take a break and return with Kathy Zoi, Z-O-I, the CEO of the Alliance for Climate Protection. If you have a question or a comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday to you. Nate Nix checking traffic on KRXA. Starting Santa Cruz County, South 1 after Marmonte Avenue. We have an accident. Minor one, two cars. They are both off to the right-hand shoulder. King City, North 101 at Canal Street, an accident. Two cars, both off to the side. Opal Cliffs, 38th Avenue at Portola Drive. Injury crash there with a vehicle and a bicyclist down. That does have the roadway blocked, and you have emergency crews on the way. Capitola, Southbound 1 off-ramp to Park Avenue, an accident with two cars off to the side. CHP should be out there taking report. And up in Felton, Highway 9 at Graham Hill Road, broken down minivan tying up some lanes there. Oh, Southbound 1 at West Airport Boulevard, by the way, Watsonville, we've gotten reports of an injury crash. That may be blocking the right-hand lane. Emergency crews on the scene wrapping things up. This is brought to you by Office Depot. Hurry into Office Depot where you can get all the top brands of ink and toner at low prices to keep you printing for less. Office Depot, taking care of business. Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment, 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call, 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
We got some oils on the radio for you. Peter Garrett and Midnight Oil.
The father breaking of the rain. Every child in the shade had reached 110 again. In the dip and in the dry of the overland telegraph line.
This shows you that Peter Garrett was worried about increasing temperatures back in 1989 when they released this record. We continue with Kathy Zoy. She's CEO of the Alliance for Climate Protection. Again, their website, you can join. It's easy. WeCanSolveIt.org. WeCanSolveIt.org. Kathy, in the preceding segment, you made a reference to T. Boone Pickens, and I'm still a little shy about embracing his call because he's saying the right things, but he's got a pretty ugly history as an oil patch corporate raider and a guy who didn't keep his word about the $1 million reward for people who could prove that the Swift boaters didn't tell the truth. That said, do you welcome him to the bandwagon?
I actually sure do. I mean, I think that if you've got the interest in backing and support from T. Boone for the right reasons, and I think they are the right reasons, I mean, he's thinking about energy security and climate change, then that's a good thing. I mean, he can help us. We've had political gridlock on this issue for as long as I've known about the issue. I mean, 20 some years, and our leaders in Washington can't seem to get even the most basic things done. There's been an investment tax credit that helps companies invest in renewable energy technologies. Our Senate and our House can't pass an extension to that credit, and it's going to be good for 100,000 new jobs in this country.
Yeah.
If you've got the likes of T. Boone Pickens coming in there saying, wait, this is just a sensible way to go, then you know, that's going to be useful for us. It's going to be helpful for us.
All right. Do you have any indication that maybe you don't like this characterization, but that Neanderthals are willing to listen to him?
Well, I have been watching the editorial coverage this week, and people are listening. People are listening. And what's fascinating is that there's folks coming out of the woodwork on this issue from, you know, lots of surprising quarters. I mean, the Teamsters have changed their position. They're saying, look, the answer to our energy woes is not to drill more. The Alliance, we've got partnerships with people from the faith community, with the Girl Scouts, with the steel workers. I mean, none of those folks are from the traditional kind of environmental movement. They're all saying, gosh, there's so much evidence that we need to take action. Let's go on and take action. I mean, it's no accident that our campaign is called the We Campaign. It really is nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. It is open. Our board is composed half of Democrats, half of Republicans, with one independent. This isn't a partisan issue. But we all do have to come together and take on this challenge and get going. I mean, truly, I have been in the energy business. Interestingly, I mean, I was trained as a geologist, probably not unlike T. Boone Pickens. Mm. And when I was between my junior and senior years in college, I went and worked for an oil company. And even back then, it was 1982, I said, God, there's got to be a different sort of energy future. We should get into renewables. So I've been at this for a long time and watched it be a little teeny-weeny piece of the energy puzzle. Finally, now we think we're gaining enough political momentum and popular momentum to get this stuff done.
Well, and Kathy, you mentioned the partisan gridlock. It's true. And with the high price of gasoline impacting families and working people at every level, there's this desire to pander and say, oh, all we got to do is drill more. And everybody knows that drilling won't solve our current problems, and any result would take anywhere from 8 to 20 years to really have an impact on our markets. Yet, we hear the Republicans with a fairly slick approach here saying, well, all of the above. Let's drill, let's conserve, let's shift to renewable resources. And as they say that, they don't provide the funding to actually drive the alternatives. They only suggest all of the above as a way of including more drilling in any package that comes out of Congress.
Well, that's right, and the more drilling is not going to relieve gas price woes, unfortunately. I mean, I wish I could say that that's true, but the more drilling is just, I mean, gas prices are really, I mean, going to go only in one direction over the long term. I mean, I did an interview with somebody yesterday, and they said, oh, but gas prices have gone down for the last couple of days.
Yeah, a nickel.
Gracious. I wouldn't bet the farm on the last couple of days. Look at the trend since 1970, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
You know, Yeah, they do say that. They do say that. I think what we have to, what we who believe in a different sort of energy future have to keep talking about the nexus between reliance on fossil fuels, national security, a lagging economy, and environmental challenges that need to be addressed, because they do. They are all part of the same challenge, but the elegant solution is, you know, spending the next 10 years in a transition that is going to be, I mean, it's going to have as much impact as, I mean, or it's going to be as potent economy-wide as the digital revolution was. I mean, we're going to reorient towards fuels that are free and limitless and don't cause pollution.
Kathy, I got 30 seconds and a trick question. Besides your own website, where would you direct my listeners who want to learn more about fighting climate change?
Oh, gosh. That's a big question. I don't know. I can't refer everybody to other websites. I think we have lots of links and lots of partnerships with others. So I'd say go to We Can Solve It, and we'll get you hooked up with whoever you want to know, whether it's a technology website or whether it's a public action website. We've got lots of places to link off and go to other places. So use us as the hub.
All right, WeCanSolveIt.org. Kathy Zoi, Z-O-I. Thanks for joining us, and give my regards to Peter Garrett, will you?
I sure will do that.
All right. Great to talk with you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Share it with a friend. The podcast link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Gasoline prices may have peaked, at least for this summer. The price at the pump is starting to reflect the decline in crude oil. It fell to $123 a barrel today. CBS's Sam Litzinger reports.
This may not be enough to make you rush out and buy a big new SUV, but the latest numbers suggest a gallon of gas could average under $4 within a couple of days. That's in part because demand is down. Jeff Sundstrom's a fuel price analyst with AAA.
Now that the oil prices come down, your local retailer is trying to stimulate traffic back into their convenience store, and they are dropping prices just as quickly as they can.
He predicts a gallon could drop another 25 cents by Labor Day, but AAA also says many of us won't return to our old driving habits unless gas drops closer to $3 a gallon, and those days may be gone. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
A government report today says sales of new homes fell less than expected in June, just 0.6%. But a separate report says foreclosures in the second quarter more than doubled from the same period last year. The problem was explored on Capitol Hill today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
A House hearing showed a big disconnect between banks and some of their customers. Bank representatives testified they want to avoid foreclosures if they can and are doing all they can to help consumers work things out, while consumer representatives testified banks are still giving borrowers the runaround or short-term fixes that will leave them facing foreclosure again a few months down the road.
For drivers down the road, easy payment auto leases may be coming to an end. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports Chrysler Financial will get out of the leasing business within months.
The big problem is that vehicles, particularly trucks coming back from leases, are worth a lot less than they were expected to be worth. Jim Hall, who's an analyst with 2953 Analytics, says that's costing the entire industry billions.
The values that have been established by companies that were pretty good at predicting these things are now way off because of the impact of $4 a gallon gasoline.
Chrysler says instead of leasing, it will offer other incentives like no-interest loans. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Barack Obama, whose Berlin speech emphasized Western unity, carried the theme to Paris today.
The United States and Europe can and will accomplish far more
when we join in common cause.
He met with French President Sarkozy, who greeted him as "my dear Barack Obama." John McCain, campaigning in Denver, used harsher language, blasting Obama's opposition to the troop surge in Iraq.
Given the opportunity to choose between failure and success, he chose failure. I cannot conceive a commander-in-chief making that choice.
McCain later met with the Dalai Lama, who's visiting Aspen. Some cities have done it, and many fast food chains have done it voluntarily. Today, California became the first state to ban trans fats from restaurant food. On Wall Street, stocks were higher. The Dow Industrials up 21 points to 11,370. The NASDAQ gained 30 points. This is CBS News.
It's time to get more for less. Because right now at the Home Depot end of season clearance event, you can save 25% or more on select items throughout the store. Everything from cordless power tools, hand tools, wet dry vacs, and more. All from your favorite brands like Rigid, Ryobi, and DeWalt. Just look for the yellow tags and save at the Home Depot end of season clearance event. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
So, there's a new stress treatment.
What is it?
It's the Sizzlin' Sampler from the United States Virgin Islands.
Now get $200 off our attractions and activities, a $100 traveler's check, up to $100 resort or room credit,
and your fourth night free. Call your favorite travel agent today.
Side effects include a favorable disposition toward rush hours and long work weeks. Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations through October 15, 2008 for travel between August 16th and October 31st, 2008. Blackout dates and restrictions apply.
Olympic fever is spreading in Beijing. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there.
The final batch of Olympic tickets went on sale here today, and some of those in line got a bit too enthusiastic. As the windows opened at several locations, fans pushed and shoved. There were some scuffles. This man spent 2 days in line to be one of the first.
It's very hard to get a ticket, so maybe this is the last chance.
This is your last chance.
Maybe, I think.
The hottest ticket here appears to be basketball, especially for games involving China and featuring one of China's national heroes, Yao Ming. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Beijing.
Almost every suburban homeowner has been there, a balky lawnmower that refuses to start. In Milwaukee, 56-year-old Keith Walandowski was so frustrated that he got a gun and shot his mower. He told police, "It's my yard, so I can shoot it if I want." But they charged him with felony gun possession and disorderly conduct. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right, so you want to install carpet in how many rooms?
All of them.
Ouch, that hurts.
No, see, it's only $199. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's time to save big on carpet installation. Right now at the Home Depot, basic installation is just $199. That's any carpet style, all at our everyday low prices, and any number of rooms. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot has low prices, so you don't have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot Work-Life Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. In-stock guarantee not available in Alaska or Hawaii. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Every week at this time, we talk election integrity, election protection on this program. Got a blockbuster for you today. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com with us as usual. And joining us in a moment, lead attorney in Ohio, Cliff Arnebeck. And you're welcome to call in with questions or comments at 888-5-PETER-B.
And now this word from our sponsor. Have you lost your appetite for politics? Not interested in big elections? Do you feel ambivalent every 4 years? You may be suffering from electile dysfunction. from the leading maker of voter enhancement drugs, try new Votegra. You'll be back in the booth in no time. And your Chad won't be dangling.
Just last week, Brad Friedman graced us in studio. He's back at the Brad Blog World headquarters, and you can see his updates at bradblog.com. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Not too bad today. And, of course, last week we were graced with the presence of Richard Hayes Phillips, who is just winding up his West Coast speaking tour. You can get details on his book, order the book, and find out where he's speaking at witnesstoacrime.com. And it's that crime that drives our discussion the first half hour today, as we're joined by Ohio Attorney Cliff Arnebeck, who has been working on the case that we discussed with Richard last week, and there have been some important developments. Cliff, thanks for joining us on the show tonight.
Nice to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in election lawyering.
Well, I used to do some legal work for the Ohio Senate Republican Campaign Committee, and in that capacity managed some fairly serious election litigation. But in 2000, there was this incredible attack on one of the justices, the Democratic justices on the Ohio Supreme Court. And I jumped into that battle, and it was against the Chamber of Commerce. And that led right into the contesting the 2004 presidential election. And what's happened recently is we've figured out how all this ties together, and that it really started with Karl Rove's strategy of pulling out the stops and using illegal corporate money to get George Bush elected and reelected,
mm-hmm.
among other dirty tricks.
And Cliff, give us just a quick sense of your view of the work that Richard Hayes Phillips published in Witness to a Crime.
Well, Richard has been with us from very early in the aftermath of the 2004 election and doing analyses of the voting patterns, and then as things progressed and we actually got access to the ballots, looking at the actual ballots, photographing them, and what he's done in the book Witness to a Crime is create a very comprehensive analysis and a compendium of actual ballots, ballot books, et cetera. And in some cases, because of the destruction of evidence that's occurred, those digital photographs are the only evidence, not just the best evidence, they're the only evidence of some of the material that has been destroyed. So in terms of going into a trial over criminal conduct, even in a civil context, his testimony is going to be extraordinarily important. And the other point that I want to make is that when people destroy evidence, they don't get off scot-free, because there are some rules of law that if you destroy evidence knowing that it is relevant to issues in litigation, there's a presumption created that the reason you destroyed it is because it would have been adverse to your interests and to the benefit of those who sought the were seeking the evidence. So those who've destroyed the evidence have really created a problem for themselves. And Richard is in the position of having been there seeking this material, and in one case, in a county that destroyed all of their ballots, I had sent a document hold notice to them on the very day that Richard happened to be in their offices making photographs of ballots, and they tried to stop him, which indicates that they had something to hide. They then we get a court order to preserve the ballots. After receiving the court order, they destroyed all their ballots.
Hmm.
So these folks are going to have a real problem when it comes to time to account to the judge in terms of what they were doing.
Attorney Cliff Arnebeck with us from Columbus, Ohio, on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Brad, you want to ask a few cues?
I do, and I should say I was able to hear Cliff a little bit better right at the beginning, up until he said he was had been working for the Republican Senate in Ohio. I didn't realize that. And so either my hearing went bad after that, or you made some adjustment.
I was getting a little feedback, so I did tweak it a little bit. Sorry, Brad.
I got you. No problem. Before we get into the real ripple that Cliff has been causing this week, just to close the loop here on Richard Hayes Phillips,
And those ballots that were destroyed, 56 counties out of 88 counties in Ohio who destroyed their ballots after being told not to, or either destroyed or lost or didn't have, case that you're now reigniting out there in Ohio, is that going to deal with those 56 out of 88 counties? Because as I understand, nothing has been done, no accountability has been brought for those missing ballots at this point.
Well, there's accountability in the sense that the Secretary of State, at the point she ordered all the ballots be brought to her offices in Columbus, she required that an explanation be given for anything that was missing. And in some cases, there were misunderstandings of what the obligation was with respect to certain ballots. At least that's what they said. But there are other explanations that are suggestive of disrespect for the law and their legal obligations and outright defiance of a court order. So that will be dealt with, even those who try to defend the election as not having been fraudulent in terms of its result have commented that the destruction of evidence is a serious matter and should be dealt with.
Now, Cliff, will that be dealt with by Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner? I did speak with her about this some time ago, and she told me she was very concerned about some of these, in some cases, nonsensical excuses for the destruction of the ballots. You know, coffee was spilled on some of them, which is somewhat strange, seeing as how these ballots are supposed to be in a double-locked safe, that they would be brewing coffee in there. But is it going to be Secretary of State who brings accountability here, or will that come through the lawsuit that you are continuing to work on? I know it was Judge Marbley who was the one who is the judge you're dealing with, and I know the judge who gave the order to retain those ballots. So what would be the sort of chain of custody for getting accountability on those from those counties prior to 2008?
Well, I think that's a responsibility that we have as plaintiffs. We're the ones that ask that the material be preserved, and we will discharge our responsibility with, I expect, the Secretary of State being as interested as we are in hearing the answers to the follow-up questions about what went wrong. The other point I want to make is that we're not interested in making life difficult for people who are sincere in saying that they don't know what happened and they don't understand it. There's one Board of Elections where, you know, they could not find the material and you could tell that they were genuinely upset about it. What we think is that the very technical folks who have so much control over the computers, in some cases have the same kind of control and access to the ballots. And as they were, to the extent they were involved in the criminal conduct in terms of tampering with ballots, part of their cover-up could have been to destroy part of the hard copy material that would help expose their fraud. So the people, the folks at the boards of elections, this may be another instance where they're sort of in the dark. Mm-hmm. So we're not after the innocent folks. We're after the real crooks, and we think we know who they are, and we will be talking to them.
Now, Cliff, last week on our program, we revealed the information about Mike Spoonamore, who went public with some comments, and you held a pretty powerful news conference in Columbus about that. And he pointed a finger at Mike Connell, who is described as the IT guy for Karl Rove and the Bush-Cheney team. And I've been following Brad Blog this week, and there's been some pretty explosive reporting here that Mr. Connell may have received threats directly or indirectly from Karl Rove to keep quiet.
That's our understanding. It's not that not to keep quiet. It's to keep quiet about him. We identified Karl Rove as the principal perpetrator of what we believe to be a Ohio Corrupt Practices Act / RICO action or conspiracy. He is the ringleader, and to the best of our knowledge, and what we've been informed that Rove made threats to Mike Connell to take the rap and not to expose him. And this is a very serious thing. It rises to the level of assuming it's true, what we our understanding is correct, that Karl Rove's the bad guy. You start throwing your weight around to intimidate a witness, to obstruct justice, to suborn perjury. You're looking at compounding a crime, the underlying crime.
All right. We need to take a break. We'll pick up there, and Brad, I'll let you pick up the questioning regarding Mike Connell after the break. We're talking with Cliff Arnebeck, the attorney in Columbus, Ohio, working on the issues related to the 2004 presidential election. I believe it was stolen, and I'd love to see them prove it in court and see Karl Rove stand for it. If you have a question or comment, we'll try to squeeze it in. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Checking traffic on KRXA starting in Gilroy. Look for heavy traffic both directions of 101 near Monterey Street due to the Gilroy Garlic Festival that runs today through the end of the weekend. For Felton Highway 9 at Graham Hill Road, a new injury crash with a motorcycle down. No further details. We do have emergency crews on the way. Also South 9 at the same spot, Graham Hill. We have a broken down SUV that may have one of the southbound lanes blocked there. Southbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, Santa Cruz. Reports of an accident, but no further details. South 1 at Freedom Boulevard. Watch out for a big chunk chunk of wood or cement in one of the lanes. And southbound 1 before Soquel Drive earlier crashed with a couple of cars. Looks like that may be in the final clearing stages. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
We continue with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com and our guest, attorney Cliff Arnebeck from Columbus, Ohio. And just before the break, I raised the name Mike Connell. He is the Republican IT specialist. And we got word this week that Karl Rove has threatened him. And Brad, why don't you pick up there?
I will. And Connell, described most colorfully by Cliff Arnebeck and Bob Petrakis in an interview that we ran at BradBlog as the high IQ Forrest Gump for his uncanny ability to be everywhere, it seems, from Florida 2000 to Ohio 2004. And this fella, in fact, created the firewall for the congressional computer network. So,
and did they give him a box of chocolates?
Oh, yeah, well, he's you never know. I know they gave him quite a bit. He has he's also working on John McCain's campaign right now and worked on the RNC email that was supposedly well, we don't know what happened to some of this RNC email from Rove. And I know Cliff, you sent a letter to Mukasey asking him to retain this email, but I wanted to find out, with Connell, the letter you wrote to Mukasey asking for protection for Connell describes him as the fall guy for election fraud in Ohio, according to this the source who says that Rove has threatened him. Now, do you believe he was complicit in the effort to game elections, or just that he happens to know stuff and that they would like him to be the fall guy?
The latter. We view him as a fundamentally a technician and an implementer of things that we want to know a lot about. We view him as an extraordinarily valuable witness because of his multiple roles in all of the things that we think are related to a racketeering type conspiracy. And one of the difficult things about a complicated racketeering case is the complexity itself, and normally you would find all kinds of steps being taken to create separate cells with different people in charge and avoiding linkages. And what they've done in this enterprise is to have one person through a variety of organizations who has a key implementing role in practically every aspect of this. And we're not saying that he's a bad guy. What we're saying is he has been an instrument in these many, many different roles, and he can sort of pull it together and give us information so we can understand how it all ties together and how it operated.
Have you been given any indications yet from him that he is willing, I guess, to flip here, to sing, or is this just a hope at this point?
I'm going to say this because I'm sure Karl Rove is aware of it, and that's why he is probably upset. Mr. Connell had indicated affirmatively that he was willing to come in and talk to the House Judiciary Committee about this matter, and they didn't follow up. The staff did not follow up with him, but the fact that he was willing then, we hope, is indicative that he'll be willing now to come forward as a good citizen and help us find the truth, and that's what we're seeking.
And Cliff Arnebeck, how far can this go? Will you be able to depose Karl Rove and other campaign officials, including, say, Ken Blackwell?
Yes, and the neat thing about this, people get, particularly if you watch the hearings, you watch these hearings in Congress and the frustration of a real statesman, John Conyers, and not being able to get Rove to respond to a subpoena,
and the sense of courageous Democrats like Mr. Wexler of Florida, feeling that no way can you actually complete an impeachment against these people. A racketeering case, a civil RICO case, does not depend upon these limitations, and it doesn't depend upon, the President Bush cannot give pardons against a civil RICO. So a civil RICO case is very powerful in that it does not depend upon, it can proceed. And, and the interesting thing is, if you recall the Paula Jones case, which went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the issue was, can you take a deposition of a president during his term of office in a civil case? And the answer was yes.
Yeah.
So we expect that we will be able to take Mr. Roe's deposition and others. And
Cliff, just 30 seconds remaining. What else would you like to add that we haven't asked you about?
Well, I would like to add that I applaud the work that Brad Friedman and people with whom he's associated have been doing on this, working on this since 2004, courageously and with great perseverance, and radio stations like yours, Peter, that have helped keep the search for truth alive. We really appreciate it.
Well, we're doing what we can, and I know you're working hard. Stay on it, Cliff, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot.
Cliff Arnebeck in Columbus, Ohio. Brad Friedman will stay with us, and we'll talk about Ken Blackwell's trip to Capitol Hill this week and the almost impeachment hearing.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 21st. Condos, they are actually the best value category right now. Condo prices are always the first to come down when the market turns. All the first-time buyers who want to get their foot in the door with a condo can now buy a house for the same money. But for those who want to downsize, there are great opportunities out there. And here are just a few. The first one is at 34 Spanish Bay Circle in Pebble Beach. This is a three-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath for $2,995,000. This is a private Spanish Bay sanctuary with uncompromising views of the golf course, Pacific Ocean, and beyond. A lush, intimate courtyard leads into the two-story formal entry with soaring ceilings and museum-quality finishes throughout. It's been completely remodeled. This spacious 3,280-square-foot residence has three bedrooms, including two master suites. It's 3,280 square feet. Feels much more like a house than a condo. It's a really great deal, actually, at $2,995,000. Next, we move over to Del Mesa Carmel. This is at 274, two-bedroom, two-baths for only $789. This is a peaceful cul-de-sac location with beautiful forest and mountain views. You can follow the private park-like entrance past the majestic magnolia tree to this 1,814-square-foot expanded C unit with a separate dining room. The inviting entryway welcomes you into the spacious living room and the expanded family room and den beyond. It's got private forest views from three sides of this lovely home. New carpets and paint. You got to be 55 and older, but lots to do here, from lawn bowling to swimming to tennis. Beautifully maintained grounds. Just if you're ready to downsize, this one is it. Next, we move over to 73 Hacienda Carmel in Carmel Valley. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath at just $415. That's my value pick listing of the week. This is a very desirable adult community on the Monterey Peninsula. You can move right into this remodeled unit and enjoy condo living at its finest. The amenities include a pool, library, clubhouse, exercise room, laundry facilities, convenient parking, and walking trails. Everything is new here, from the wonderful cherry wood floors and skylights to the new countertops, appliances, windows, doors. They even added insulation in the master bedroom. Absolute turnkey and priced to sell, 850 square feet on this one. So, if you're interested in any of these fabulous condos, please call me, 236-4513. Email me at pattyross@kw.com, or check out these and lots more listings on my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
1 week from today at this time, I'll be broadcasting live from Madison, Wisconsin, the scene of the Progressive Radio Conference. Go to nonstopradio.com to get more information.
Disrupting all programs.
Radio from pirate satellites. Orbiting your living, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus or refusing of the light. Radio from pirate satellites.
We continue our election protection hour with Brad Friedman, proprietor, citizen journalist, and chief cook and bottle washer at bradblog.com, where they can always use your help. That is a nonprofit website, so go to bradblog.com if you can help. And if you can help, go to peterbcollins.com and click on the link that says you can help. Ken Blackwell went to Washington this week. Had a few words to say.
Urging voters from the rolls, 30 points down in the polls. Bye, bye, Blackwell. 2004 election fraud, now just between you and your God. Bye, bye, Blackwell.
Wouldn't it have been nice if Victrola and the Dust Bunnies had been there to play Ken Blackwell out of the House Judiciary Committee as he was there earlier this week? Brad, tell us what Ken had to say.
Well, it was interesting. Now, remember, Ken Blackwell, as Secretary of State of Ohio, has never sat down in the House Judiciary Committee. They've been trying to get him for quite some time. He snubbed them back in February when they invited him to come and discuss the 04 election, and they had to sort of threaten him with a subpoena. So this time, looks like he decided to show up, and some fireworks indeed were going in the Judiciary Committee yesterday, as they were finally, 4 years later, able to ask this guy about what happened in 2004. You'll be surprised to learn he had all of his lies memorized and ready to go. Deborah, I think the most interesting confrontation really was Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida,
right.
Democrat down there. Pretty tough gal. She was relentless, I will say, on him, trying to get an answer out of him about these thousands of registration forms that he did not accept because they weren't on the proper weighted paper.
Right.
Call that nightmare, where he threw out these paper, these registrations if they didn't come in on 18-pound paper or whatever the heck it was back there.
I remember, yeah.
He gave some excuse for why he had to do that. He claimed that it was because they had previously found that if the paperweight wasn't heavy enough, that these forms would get lost in the mail. The post office couldn't properly handle them. Though that doesn't really explain why then the ones that he did get, he refused to use. Now, he then went on to say that Though those were thrown out, everyone who wanted to register in Ohio was able to, he claims. He gave no evidence for that. And Wasserman Schultz was pretty relentless on him, saying, well, look, was there people who registered, whose registrations were thrown out, who did not get registered after you threw them out? And Blackwell simply wouldn't answer the question. She was not happy with that, and they really went at it for quite a bit. So he was under the gun, but, you know, here we are, 4 years later, about 100 days out now from the 2008 election, and really there has been little, if any, accountability brought in Ohio or anywhere else, and we're looking at a lot of the same mess we were looking at in 2004 and in many ways compounded in 2008, and, of course, not just in Ohio, all over the country.
And Ken Blackwell was there testifying with one of our favorites, Hans von Spakovsky, who's the Wernher von Braun of American elections.
Yes, he is.
And it seems like they conspired to kind of spark a backfire and say, oh, look over there, voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud.
Well, that's what he was doing, of course. Everyone's favorite Bond villain, Hans von Spakovsky, was really, they were, you know, making the same old claims that if it only weren't for this group Acorn that actually registers millions of low-income voters each year, if it wasn't for Acorn committing voter fraud by signing up people to vote named Donald Duck, Mary Poppins, and Dick Tracy, everything in American democracy would just be fine. I mean, and that's who they were, you know, focusing on, Acorn. Now, what I think can't be repeated enough, since they love to bring out their old straw man, Acorn. Acorn itself actually verifies every registration form that they get. They call the phone numbers on the registration form, and if they can't verify that it's a legitimate registration form, they flag it as possibly fraudulent and then turn it in to the Board of Election that way, because by law they have to turn in a registration form even if it is from a Donald Duck or a Mary Poppins. So it is in fact Acorn who exposes most of this fraud, and yet this is the Republicans' favorite straw man to say that they are trying to commit voter fraud, when in fact there is no actual record of Mary Poppins, Donald Duck, or Dick Tracy ever actually having cast a vote. And that's what, as usual, von Spakovsky was on about, and just these people are relentless, and they don't give a damn about democracy. Basically, it's about politics for them, and that was very clear yesterday in the Judiciary Committee.
Now, Brad, I'm looking at the end of one of your posts, and it reads: "Sparks began to fly after the recess, working on getting some video." What sparks or fur happened to fly there?
Well, it was in fact first between Wasserman Schultz and Blackwell, and then one of the exchanges with von Spakovsky, and another one with Blackwell and I think it was Bobby Scott, if I recall. Trying to get those videos, want to get them up. It's been very hard to get, though, frankly. I don't know that these were extraordinary hearings. It's the last hearing before the 2008 election concerning elections, and I don't think it even ran on C-SPAN. So I'm having trouble finding it. I had to watch the feed from the Judiciary Committee's webcast, and it was quite amusing because they had the opening statements, and just as Blackwell was about to begin his opening statement, finally he said, "Thank you, Mr. Chair," and the web feed went out. And of course, I'm thinking back to our old friend Mike Connell in Ohio, who set up that.
When Blackwell says good morning, fade to black.
That's it. I mean, it really did. It was a Blackwell blackout there for the first 20 minutes. Missed his entire opening statement, but was able to get the was able to follow it online thereafter. And I am working on getting some of those videos because I think they were real damn interesting, and I don't think anybody saw them.
Well, Brad, and that's a perfect setup to shift to the other big thing at the Judiciary Committee this week. And frankly, it was a letdown. I started off earlier this week declaring it impeachment week on the Peter B. Collins Show. And as I continued to talk to Elizabeth Holtzman, who testified, Dennis Kucinich, who really was responsible for triggering all this, and people like Bruce Fine, it became clear that the rules really wouldn't permit the kind of hearing that I had expected and thought the American people people deserved. And on top of that, we called C-SPAN yesterday and said, hey, judiciary, these hearings on executive power, not impeachment, what channel and what time? And they said, oh, that's easy. C-SPAN 3 at 10 o'clock Eastern. And so I set up my TiVo, and I slept a little in, and then when I went to the TiVo, it was recording the housing hearing with Maxine Waters, who we talked to yesterday. They actually had it on C-SPAN 1, so I missed some of the opening remarks, and actually I missed quite a bit of it. But what I did see was so frustrating, because these ground rules, since it's not technically an impeachment hearing, prohibited anyone from impugning the credibility or the honesty of the president. And that made for a very bizarre presentation.
Let me disagree with you a little bit there.
One, oh, come on, disagree a lot. It's more fun.
Okay, I will. You're wrong, Peter. The hearings, 6 hours of them, I was glad to see were, in fact, on C-SPAN 1. And all 6 hours, and they are repeating all 6 hours tonight. And I got to say, despite the sort of hinky ground rules that they set up, they really didn't last very long. And I think it was pretty clear that George Bush and Cheney and so forth, they were well impugned, I would say, in throughout the course of the afternoon. In fact, I had the sense that reality had, if only momentarily or for 6 hours, reality had returned to Washington, D.C. I mean, it was a really, don't know how much you got to watch, but it was a really sobering, interesting, honest discussion. And remember, you had both the Republicans and Democrats there testifying in favor of impeachment, but, you know, they weren't supposed to call it that. But everyone did, including, by the way, the Republicans on the committee, who said right out of the bat, make no mistake, this is an impeachment hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. But you had Bob Barr,
yeah.
The House manager from the Clinton impeachment,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, testifying. You had Bruce Fein, as you mentioned. Some top-notch folks, and it was quite a serious and interesting discussion, and I felt that, and I haven't gotten to speak with any of the members of the Judiciary Committee, but I felt that they were listening with rapt attention, and the questioning period that took place the last couple of hours was really rather interesting, and they seem to be focusing on some very serious issues. Where it goes from here, I don't know, but it was instructive, it was serious, if I was George W. Bush, I would not be happy about mm-hmm. such a hearing. But
Brad, I appreciate your, and I'm glad, you know, you should always feel free to disagree with me and to correct me. I have a lot of watching to do. I've got TiVo capturing it. Now I know they're going to repeat the whole thing. I'll get it from start to finish and look at it over the weekend. And I'm glad it got better because, I had to leave the house this morning and really only saw the opening comments from the second panel. Bruce Fein was speaking for the first time when I had to break away. So I'm encouraged by that. But the bottom line is that the governor is on. I'm talking about a carburetor governor to limit just how fast and how far this whole process can go. Let's take a call from Ione in Monterey. Welcome. You're on the air, Ione.
Yeah, hi, Peter B. It's really wonderful to talk to you. I can't hear you too often because the only way I get you is on my radio in the car.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a radio that brings in that station.
Well, you ought to run over to Radio Shack. They got them for $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll get you one.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, you haven't reported on something Amy Goodman had, and that was this hate crime in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania. A young man by the name of Louis Ramirez was beaten up by six high school students.
Mm-hmm.
This is about two Monday nights ago. And Amy Goodman had on her program, I think it was yesterday, the day before.
It was on the 24th. I have the web screen up in front of me because when you called, this was the first I've heard of it. And Joshua pulled it up for me, and so I have a little bit of information. You're right.
Yeah.
A 25-year-old Mexican immigrant was beaten by a group of teenagers, and he died.
Yes, and they haven't done anything, or we haven't heard anything. I mean, She's the only one that ever said anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else on TV or radio has reported anything.
Yeah, and I read a lot of newspapers. I didn't see anything there. So
Right. Thanks
for bringing it to our attention, and I'll look into it further.
Okay, I think it's important because these are the things that they overlook and we never hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we have somebody like you or Amy Goodman on it.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's. I'm just interested in what happened today in the Judicial Committee. Are they going to have it again? You said a repeat?
C-SPAN 1 will replay the six-hour hearing. Brad, do you happen to know when?
I do, but I don't want to tell people because I'd hate for them to stop listening to you, but they started this hour.
Well,
but
I
they
can't
will be,
hear
but
you anyway because I don't do radio.
The final 5 hours of the hearing. Which therefore begins at the top of the hour.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So start rolling your recorder, whatever device you have. Thanks, Ione.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
We'll take a break and return. A couple more callers standing by. We'll get to you shortly. And be sure to drop by bradblog.com for the very latest on all the issues we've been discussing here today. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Well, checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. Highway 17 southbound, some heavy traffic getting out of the South Bay from Lark Avenue in Los Gatos up to about the summit in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Gilroy, heavy traffic. Be prepared for that. We do have the Gilroy Garlic Festival going throughout the weekend. It starts tonight. Heavy traffic expected. Chular River Road, right at Chular River Road, we have a solo spin-out vehicle overturned and went into a field. Nobody hurt. CHP is on the way. Injury crash, Highway 9, Graham Hill Road in Felton. A motorcycle down with a emergency crews on the scene. And finally at Santa Cruz, southbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard, reports of an accident, no details, CHP on the way. This is brought to you by Gold Bond Foot Cream for softer, healthier feet this summer. Get Gold Bond Foot Cream with 7 intensive moisturizers plus soothing vitamins that work as hard as your feet. Get Gold Bond Foot Cream. Have a great weekend. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Lefty Talk You Can Dance To. Minutes in front of the hour. Greetings to our weekend listeners in Missoula, Montana, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, You're unable to call in, I know that. But you can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you take exception to something I say, send it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. I'll be happy to hear from you either way. Got some callers for you, Brad. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Let's go to Chris in Salinas. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hello. How you doing, Peter?
Pretty good, Chris. Go right ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. I just had a real quick question. Was there any connection between Mike Connell and the Don Siegelman case at all? I just was curious about that.
You know, I don't know if he, if his company dealt with Riley's race down there in 2002. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he has literally been everywhere. He was involved with the Swift boaters. He's got a page on his website that I'm going to link to shortly showing that in 2004 he bragged that every single candidate that his company ran the computer systems for actually won in 2004.
Hmm.
A 1,000% batting average. He's got it up on his website.
Well, and we mentioned last week that he also maintains the websites for Congress.
Yes, he does. He installed the network, the firewall. That means he very well has the password and the back door to Judiciary Committee, Intelligence Committee. You bet. And that's one of the reasons why Arnbeck had met with John Conyers and some folks on, and Dennis Kucinich, as I recall, to discuss those matters, and why it's somewhat beguiling that they agreed to bring in Mike Connell, as Cliff Arnbeck had said in the earlier part of the show, but have yet to meet with him. I don't really understand that, and I'd like to learn more.
Dave and Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with his Bradness.
Hey, gentlemen. I sat through all 6 hours of it, and I had some observations for you. It was my opinion that we have some really good Democrats that were honestly trying to get the truth out, and we have some Republicans who, in every way that they could, mostly deception, were trying to prevent that from happening. It was an expressed observation of some of the members, including the chairman, that this is probably the most significant, the most important hearing that the Rules Committee had conducted in a long time. Yet I don't think any of the news media found it to be even a little bit newsworthy. But,
well, it'll be interesting to see if the networks cover this. I tend to doubt it. They have great powers of looking the other way. Brad, what's your thought?
Yeah, the caller's right. Dave's right. The Conyers ended the hearing by saying these were the most, quote, the most important hearings we've held in the judiciary in this session of Congress. And I concur, although it did leave me scratching my head as to, hey, Mr. Chairman, what the heck took you so long? I'll also note Maurice Hinchy, who actually testified as a witness at the hearing, said that these were this is the most impeachable administration in the history of this nation. These are pretty strong comments from some pretty high-ranking congressmen. Whether you agree with them or not, you would think it would be notable to the media that they would want to pick it up and report on this. I don't know how the coverage has been so far. I've been buried in a bunch of things here. But, yeah, I thought they were pretty incredible hearings, and I can only hope that people are out there paying attention on their own if the media is more interested in, you know, Obama in Berlin and McCain at the sausage factory or wherever the heck he was.
Well, he was in the bologna section the other day. I love that photo op site.
There you go.
Let's talk to Bob in Humboldt listening to KGOE. Hello, Bob. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Bob. I can hear you. Go right ahead. Bob's got some hearing issues.
To reference yesterday, you invited commentary on progressive radio for the conference, to
right,
be a forthcoming conference.
That's right. It's a week from today.
Yes. I have my laundry list here, four items. No, first of all, it's increasingly in the public eye, the abuse to farm animals in the fallacy and peril of eating meat. And just today in the newspaper, the Democratic Party endorses a new initiative, a state ballot initiative called Room to Roam,
I think that's number two on the ballot, yeah.
So I would like to see some discussion and possibly a guest on the show to fill the public in on the fallacy and peril of eating meat and the mistreatment of animals pursuant to that.
All right, Bob, I'll tell you this. We will cover all of the ballot measures between now and November. And I'm sorry I'm out of time here. I'd get the rest of your laundry list, but I thank you for calling the show today. And, Brad, we have just about a minute remaining. What else important occurred this week that's reported at Brad Blog that people ought to know about?
Well, actually, it caught me off guard there. I was really focusing on this story from Connell. There's going to be much more coming out on this, so I'd urge you to keep your eye on Brad Blog on that. And we will try to get you some material over the weekend from that Blackwell hearing. But, you know, up to Americans, you're going to have to go out and find this stuff yourself. The media ain't going to deliver it to you. But trust me, check out those impeachment hearings when they re-air on C-SPAN. They may run throughout the weekend as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, will do. And talk about the River Dee.
Oh, the lovely River Dee. Well, you can come and see our journey that we spent throughout the summer down the River Dee. The video is at Brad Blog, and it was a remarkable journey along the way.
That was from the source to the mouth, right?
All the way from the source of the river to the mouth that we traveled throughout our summer vacation, if you will, over the last few weeks. So check out the people and the places that we visited along the lovely River Dee.
All right, Brad. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, brother. Have a good weekend.
BradBlog.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you.
My thanks to producer Katrina Rill and our assistant producer Joshua Emerson Smith.
Again.
One more time, my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Use it.
Keep smiling until then.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Drivers have something to look forward to.
There's a high probability that this weekend the average price for self-serve regular will fall below $4 a gallon for the first time since June 7th.
Troy Green of AAA says the price could come down 25 cents by Labor Day, but even that wouldn't make much of a dent.
The price of gasoline is still $1.07 more per gallon than it was this time last year, and we were paying $2.94 for self-serve regular.
Any decline is contingent on the price of crude oil, which fell more than $2 today, settling at $123.26 a barrel. If you lease your car, be prepared for bigger payments when you get a new one. Chrysler announced today that its credit arm, Chrysler Financial, will get out of the leasing business. It will instead focus on buyer incentives like no-interest loans. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert explains.
It's a matter of using limited resources wisely, says Chrysler President Jim Press. Credit is now tighter, and vehicles coming back from leases, particularly trucks, are losing their value.
We really reached a point today in this environment where the advantages of leasing, the economic advantages, have really disappeared.
About 20% of Chrysler's business is leasing. Dealers will still be able to offer leases through independent financing means. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Ford Motor Credit has written off more than $2 billion in lease losses.
The Federal Communications Commission, in an unusual Friday evening vote, has approved Sirius Satellite Radio's plan to buy its rival XM for $3.6 billion. Subscribers will get programming from both services. Proponents of the merger say the cost savings will make satellite radio profitable for the first time. Investigators may be getting closer to the source of the salmonella poisoning. CBS's Sam Litzinger reports they've narrowed their focus some more.
You consumers could be forgiven for getting a little confused about what you should and shouldn't eat in connection with this salmonella outbreak. Now investigators say it's okay to eat raw jalapenos from the U.S., but don't eat any from Mexico. Nearly 1,300 people have gotten sick from salmonella during this outbreak. Tomatoes were an initial suspect, and health officials are still trying to figure out exactly where the salmonella originated.